Hey, how's it going?
Good.
It's a great hat.
Oh, thank you so much. I love wearing hats when I exercise.
But it's like all beat up and it's like the farm hat. It's you know.
It's seen better days, we'll say, but it's like one of my favorites. So I consistently wear it regardless.
Even if it had seen better days, it's better the more beat up it is.
Exactly. It's yeah. Like, it's authentic.
It's like your favorite old pair of jeans. They just keep getting better. All right, well, we're just going to start. Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is one half of the dominant Deca duo, Bethany McChesney. I couldn't say any of that right. I got not a single word out properly. They were all wrong. That's right. And with us is Morgan Schultz. Morgan, back from injury, finally.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long hiatus. I was technically recovered from my injury like 10 months ago, maybe, but I just took a pretty extended period of time off from competing, racing, everything. So I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so before we get too into that, obviously we're going to talk a shit ton about Deca, and we're going to make Morgan say ass again, because that was great last time. And the first thing I want to do is I want to go through just, you know, my part on the live stream. And I want to say thank you to everybody who watched, everybody with some amazing comments and support, and really, really made my day. And then the elites there, like Kent and Rich and Riker, all were fantastic, along with the women like yourself and Vivian. Just everybody was super supportive, and Yancey, unbelievably supportive and helpful. So I just wanted to say thanks to that, and thanks for everybody who came through and commented and said hi and all that stuff. I just want to quick turn the microscope on myself for a quick second, though, because I came out of there and I was super happy with how the individual race went, and I checked it out a little bit, and my wife had watched it during to see how things were going, or checked things out periodically. And it went really well, and I was really happy. And then I got home and I watched the relay, which I was really excited about because it was such a cool race. And it was shit. It was pixelated, and there was lag, and I was so pissed off, and I didn't know why. And I was trying to figure it out. And I've come down to two scenarios, which hopefully will improve it for next time. And one is that I did use Bluetooth earbuds afterwards because I had been screaming so much volunteering that I had lost my voice, and I didn't think the phone would pick up my voice talking if I didn't have a mic very close. So that might have put extra strain on the phone. I don't know. And then also when we did the first race, it was like 8:30 in the morning, and the pier was dead. There was nobody there. Then when the relay went, it was like 5 p.m. and the pier had thousands of people on it, like just literally thousands using their cell phone, drawing signal. And I think that might be the real thing that got it. And so in hindsight, I had tested that when we went and tested, it was probably about 3 p.m. and it wasn't as busy on the Friday as it was on the Saturday. So we didn't have that issue. So hindsight, maybe I should have recorded that one, put it up 30 seconds after the race and been like that. But I didn't realize. So I apologize about that, and it will be better next time, but hopefully there is a next time. So anyway, that was my thing. Beyond that, let's go right away. Let's dive into you two. Both were in the first wave of the women's race. And so Morgan, let's go with you first, because this is kind of your return, and really kind of both of your return to highly competitive. But we'll start with Morgan. Like, how did it come across this was the event you were even going to do?
So, yeah, so first off, I wasn't going to do this until kind of recently, because my friend Nick, was like, hey, I'm going to be in Chicago for DecaFit. You should do the race. And I was like, nah, like, I haven't really trained properly for it. Lately, I've just been kind of like exercising, not necessarily training. But Nick was like, okay, well, I'm going to be in Chicago. Can I stay at your place? And if I do, like, you should come with me. And if you're going to be there, you should just do it. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, you sold me. Whatever.
Some pretty solid logic.
Exactly. So we get there, and I'm like, didn't have, like, any super concrete expectations, especially because this is my first race. And, like, so I don't even know how long. A while. that I was like, I just kind of want to go out there and have fun. And yeah, so I feel like I did do that. Like I did have a fun time. I honestly, I didn't really know exactly what the stations were before I went there. So I was asking people like, okay, what's part of debt? Like, what are the exercises basically? So I was kind of learning on the fly and like practicing in the warm-up station. I've never used one of those sleds before. I didn't know like the weights of certain things. So I felt like a newbie, honestly. Like I felt like I haven't ever done a race before because I was asking so many questions and I just felt so new to racing, it seemed like. So I think my goal when the race went out was to not go out too hard because one, I just don't trust my fitness right now. So I thought I would blow up if I decided to go out too fast. And I knew there was going to be a lot of good runners. So I was like, okay, just kind of like hold the reins back a little bit and then just hold on for dear life. And I mean, the first 500 meters ish didn't really seem that fast. So I was like, okay, this is good. Like, I don't want to hurt so badly early on. So I felt like I did a decent job kind of like learning to go back into that pain cave because it's been a long time since I've like raced or like hurt that badly, I guess. And it was a interesting feeling because I got there at around the ski erg. I started to kind of like hurt pretty badly and I was like, man, this sucks, honestly, like I like that in a long time. And it was so, what a new feeling it was for me right now. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what racing is like. I totally forgot. So I think I did my best to kind of hang on. I'm sure I could have like pushed myself more in the moment. I was like, this is as hard as I can go. But like in hindsight, I'm like, man, like you are not used to the whole pain cave, Morgan. Like that's just something new that you're going to have to get back into and learn to love basically. So I think my goal going, I didn't have any expectations and I did have a really fun time. I enjoy DECA a lot. And I think it's something that I can kind of adhere to, like the training for DECA, I can adhere to more than high rocks ish training. Like my schedule right now with like my job is just too hard to consistently get in training. And that's kind of why I kind of veered back from racing is because I just have very minimal time right now. So yeah, I think overall it was super fun and it was nice to like meet new people, see old faces and catch up with everybody.
So Beth, you went into it to like the same thing. This is your kind of comeback, at least for this. And really your first hybrid race since the High Rocks you did.
Yeah. Like, beginning of 2020, I did High Rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. And this one, a very different one too. Like Morgan said, right? Like your High Rocks is very different than DECA. So you going in, yeah. How are you feeling? Cause like, were you more nervous cause you had more expectations or.
I was nervous, but, yeah, there was definitely a bit of expectations. I was more nervous because I felt like I hadn't put in any work on, like I don't have a bike. I'd never touched the sled. The machines, although I do a bit of work on them, I still struggle pretty hard on them. So I was kind of nervous about how that would all play out. And, still with coming back from my injury, which I feel like it's been a long time coming back, but the speed work side of things, I've really only been able to do consistent speed work with my Achilles over the last few weeks. So I'm a solid runner, but my top speed isn't really quite there yet either. So I just didn't know how all of that would play out, but I was really excited about it because all these stations are ones that I can do, like with High Rocks. There was things that like the sled, I was barely even able to pull the sled. So this one was definitely more suited for me, which is what made me excited about it. And it just the whole feeling, especially in these big venues, like the one on Navy Pier, it's reminiscent of indoor track where you're just, it's high paced. There's music, like you're not dealing with the elements, it's indoors. People can see the whole thing. You're not off in the trails, like totally alone for large sections of time. So just that intensity. And it felt like it was over as fast as it started. Like there was moments, like on the bike for me, it felt like it was an eternity because I just felt like it took me so long. But otherwise I felt like all of a sudden we were coming up to the last station and it was just over so fast. And yeah, there was a lot of lead changes and I did take it out hard, but again, I knew that I had to really lean on my running in order to kind of stay in the mix a little bit. So, yeah, a lot of lead changes, especially around the machines. And again, I wasn't shocked that the machines kind of were what gapped the leaders on me, but I wish I could close that gap a little bit more. So I know what I need to work on, but yeah, I had so much fun in the individual race too.
So if we go through it, we take off from the beginning and you guys went out fast. So let's just kind of break it down. You're going out at the beginning. And like you say, it appeared like Beth, kind of you and Laura kind of took the charge.
Yeah. I knew Laura would go out fast. She's a really good runner. And on the start line, Ashley Heller was also super nervous because she's been sick and she wasn't sure. And she's like, you're not going to go out fast, are you, Beth? I'm like, I don't think so. I'm not too fast. And then we hit about 100 and Ashley was like, you lied to me, Bethany. And she was right there too. And Ashley is also a former track runner and like that's her thing too. So it was really fun. But yeah, we did take it out a little bit hot, me and Lauren, and Ashley was right there. And then we were together in and out of the lunges also.
Yeah, now the lunges, okay. So different technique for the lunges. And I want to talk about these later on with some of the rules and stuff, because, well, we were lucky enough not to have any negative complaints on the live stream. There was some talk about rules and technique and stuff. So Beth, you use that twisting technique.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something.
Which I hadn't practiced, but I saw all of the elite men do it. And then when I tried it in the warm-ups, I realized it's faster and it fatigues your quads less. So I just went for it.
Now, in fairness, I did say to do it beforehand, but that wasn't good enough.
Well, I just don't like doing something enough for the first time in a race. But then, yeah, then you see the guys do it. You're like, okay, maybe I should try it.
And then, Morgan, you were pretty much straightforward, just the classic kind of reverse lunges.
I didn't even know twisting was a thing. Yeah, I just picked it up and I was like, all right, I'll just lunge and we'll see what happens. And I'm pretty sure I was dead last after the lunge. My legs are so long and I didn't have any, I had no idea. I just was, shoot, I'm getting a call. Sorry.
That's okay.
And then it kicked me out.
That's okay.
So, sorry about that.
No worries. So you were, you said you figured you were dead last?
I'm pretty sure I was dead last because I remember dropping the ram and kind of looking around like the lunging area and I didn't see a single person. I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like I was lunging so fast too, but like there's only so much I can do. Like my legs are so long. Like I just assumed like I'll just pick it up and lunge quickly. I didn't want to go too fast because I didn't want to blow up my legs, but honestly, I think I had to go a little bit faster to kind of like maintain contact in that first zone at least.
And then, so you guys took off and coming to the rower was fairly similar. I think Morgan, you might've made up some ground on that run on some of the girls, but Beth, again, you and Laura came into the rower pretty much side by side.
Yeah. And I could see her pace and, I was about 10 seconds slower, which I assumed I would be 10 to 20 seconds slower than most of the girls in the rower. It's again, that's just kind of my pace. Like I've tried to really work on it, but, yeah. And I don't even know if my form's that great, but it's hard for me to really row a fast pace. So yeah, she did get about 10 seconds on me on the rower.
And this was a scenario where one of the people commented and said, what a difference one station can make. And especially like Morgan, you went from in the back and this was pretty much where you made your move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think I caught up a little bit after the second run, after the lunges, and then going into the rower, I know the rowing is generally a strength of mine. And I just felt like I had no idea what pace to pull, but I just wanted to pull at a pace that felt relatively comfortable for me. So I settled into like 154, 155. I'm like, okay, this feels pretty good, or I feel like I'm kind of recovered. And I just so happened to, you know, pull a good 500 and kind of like see myself up in the top three, I think at this one through three. I can't remember where I was, but I was in contention at that point.
Yeah, I think that maybe it went out probably, I think at that point, and I mean, I could watch it and see, but I think it was Laura and then Vivian and yourself kind of,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you and Vivian almost linked up wearing similar outfits and were an incredible pain in the ass for me because
right?
one of them is there. I know it.
Yeah. And I think Holly made her move in there too. Cause I think she went out with Laura and then I went out fifth.
Yeah. Holly had a spectacular role. Like she was one of the ones, like, if you watched Morgan and Vivian, it was like a controlled, you know, smooth, not such a high stroke rate. Whereas Holly was going at this massive stroke rate. She was like really putting it. I can't row like that. I don't like that, but it seemed to really work for her. Mm. So out on that run, you came out there and then we're into the box jumps or step overs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did those go for you?
So again, I didn't really know how to do, well, like I didn't know the most efficient way. Like I hadn't really practiced box step overs without jumping, right? Like usually when I do box step overs, they're usually box jump overs, but that's not the most efficient way. Like you're going to get really tired when you're doing like 20 or however many, 20, 25. So honestly, I saw the men like stepping over. I saw people in the warm-up zones like stepping over it. And I was like, okay, that's probably the best way to do it. So I just went in there. I was like, okay, I'll step over it. And I felt, again, I kind of felt like a newbie. I was like, am I doing this right? How many am I supposed to be doing? Yada, yada, yada. I don't know if I lost ground. I'm assuming I didn't make up ground on that, but I don't know how much ground I lost. But again, going into it and leaving it, my goal the whole time was just not like to hurt, but to not hurt too much. Cause I was scared of kind of like feeling that pain again,
And Beth, that was kind of that's a good station for you.
Yeah, it is. I do practice those a lot, but yeah, I think we went in the same and went out the same.
Okay.
Like with our placing on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to kind of have that dialed into even if you're really good at it, you're maybe 3 seconds faster than someone who's not really good at it.
Yeah.
It's not a great spot to really make a move. I mean, I've seen a guy like Van Tran, who is just amazing at it, maybe make a bit of a move there, but most are pretty similar.
Right.
So after that, we move on to the med ball sit-ups, which is again something not a lot of us practice in that fashion. And it feels pretty, because that was the first time I've tried it too. It felt really kind of awkward.
Yeah. I think that was my gut reaction was when I tried those during a race, and I was like, this is just doesn't feel right for my body. Like I didn't really know how to do it quickly. And then Vivian was sitting next to me. Me and Vivian were next to each other. And she was just repping them out like crazy. And I was like, there's no way to keep up with her. And I think it was at that point that when she finished those, that she kind of started to pull away. And I just couldn't catch her on the run. And then she just kind of kept pulling away after that. But that station was just so awkward for me. Going into it, I was like, oh, that's not that bad. We're just, you know, doing crunches with some weight, but just throwing it up to the target and then catching it. And like, there's a lot of coordination, honestly, that goes into that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bessar.
Yeah. I only feel that in my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
There's no core legs. Like it's just 100% shoulders for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like when you lie on the bench and do like a weighted pullover. Seems
right.
To be more of a similar feeling than a crunch or a sit-up. Now, if you're doing the regular, like in a deck of strong, the med ball sit-ups where it's straight up and you have to sit all the way, that hits you a little more in the core. But it just, the first time I did it, I was like, I thought it would feel very natural because I do a lot of good core work. It's usually a strength for me. And I was like, this throw just feels awkward and weird and timing of it and all that. So I don't know, but you're absolutely right. Vivian made a massive move on that. Mm-hmm. And it does show that station, if done well, can be a game changer.
Definitely. And it's a leg recovery station too, which is nice at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you're what, four deep and starting to feel from all those runs.
Yeah.
So that shook it up. And like you say, Vivian came out a bit. I'm not sure where you came out on that one, Beth.
I was still in fifth.
Yeah. Still in fifth. And then you guys came back around. I don't think there was any changes. I think that, you know, Vivian kind of maintained her lead and that I think Beth, you did pull a little bit up a little bit on the run, but not quite all the way. And then into the ski erg, which, and I'll go with that for you. That must've been like kind of disheartening. Cause you're like, I've just made up ground and now I'm at the freaking ski erg.
Yeah. And the skier, I am not fast on. It actually probably elevates my heart rate, like one of the highest of any of the stations.
And but more,
how do you... I have to strokes. I have to go so fast to try to get a long pull. And I even jump at the top.
Yeah.
Well, that's gotta be good.
You're like, you're getting like 3 inches of vert when you're reaching up to.
Yeah. And that's just to try to keep kind of close to girls like Morgan and Vivian.
That's funny. Like, and then, go, like, and I didn't realize. So, I generally think I'm decent at skierging, and I get to the skierg and I start pulling, and I'm pulling, and I'm like, man, I am not pulling fast at all. Like, I don't have any energy to pull sub. My goal was like sub 2 per 500, like for the 500, and I was pulling like 206, 207. And I was like, I cannot go any faster. Like, this is it for me. Like, this is my max effort. I felt as though when I was pulling down and I was kind of bending at the core, it would like take my breath away. So I wasn't really catching my breath. And I think that's what kind of made me have to like pull a little bit slower than I had imagined I would. And again, I think Vivian put some ground on everyone in the skierg station. I think she pulled a pretty good split. And it was just something which unfortunately I think I lost time on. And I don't think it's something I should lose time on. I just was not ready to kind of come into that skier with like a super high heart rate, I think.
Yeah, it is something that I would have guessed that you would do well. And, you know, I mean, you have the height, you have the size and strength. I would have thought that,
right.
that would be something that would be speak to your advantage. But
yeah, you would think, I would have thought, I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, I'm good at skierging, rowing, biking. But no, not today, or not on Saturday, I guess.
And that was one that I noticed too. Holly Hughes, again, she had a great skier, and I wouldn't have saw that coming. And Laura had a big improvement on that station from her previous Decafit, whereas that was a spot in her previous one where she started to fade.
Yeah.
And this time she was a lot better at it. So that was a definite difference from her. So you're off again. I think at that point, Beth, you dropped back a bit. I think actually Stephanie might have got you there.
Stephanie got me. She passed me actually, I think, coming into the farmer's carry. Okay. So the next one. Yeah, I was still able, or it might have been around there because there was some back and forth too with the running because I could mm-hmm. catch her on the run and she'd get ahead of me in the station.
Yeah, so I thought she passed you in the skier and then that you would do the farmer's carry before her.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what happened then. I passed her on the run again. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So you go into the farmer's carry, and was it at all eventful for anybody?
Honestly, I don't think so whatsoever.
No.
Honestly, maybe it's because I was dying at that point, but I'm like, man, these 40 pounds. It was 40 pounds, right?
Yeah, 40 pounds HI. Yeah.
I was like, oh, 40 pounds. That's light because I'm comparing it to High Rocks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that should be easy. Like, I should be able to run with these things. And I don't know if it's just my heart rate was so high and I hadn't really felt that in a long time, but I felt like I was struggling with those. And I'm like, I shouldn't be, this is another station where I feel like I shouldn't be necessarily struggling, especially because it's only 100 meters also. Yeah. But I don't know, for me, it felt a little bit hard and like a little bit worse than I had anticipated going in.
So I think, and this is, it's hit me hard too in some sims. And I think it's because the med ball tosses shoulders, the skier is mm-hmm. shoulders, and then you grab the weights. So, cause I have felt that too with this one. Yeah.
Did you guys find, and you can compare this from High Rocks, but I find the dumbbells, even if they're lighter, it's harder to move faster with them than kettlebells because of the way it's shaped and it hits the side and the front and the back of my leg when I try to run with it.
Uh-huh.
And that's so
you find dumbbells harder?
Yeah, because as I'm running, right, the edge of the dumbbell hits the front and the back of my leg as it's hanging down beside my legs. Whereas kettlebells, I find they just move across smoother. It's just something I've noticed for me anyway. So even though it's a lighter weight, it still was a bit of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I think
Sorry, what was that, Morgan?
I said I think I kind of noticed that as well. I was like, I think it's the way the weight is distributed on the dumbbell is like different, right? It's like you know, weight on the end, and the kettlebell is just one ball of weight basically. And also I feel like when I'm doing farmer's carries at my old gym, at least, like I would only use kettlebells. So maybe it's just cause like I'm used to that rather than a dumbbell, but yeah, I kind of thought it felt a little bit awkward.
Yeah. And I was thinking after I did mine, I was thinking that you see a lot of people, like, they let the front just drip forward. And I didn't do that, right? I hold them horizontally, just straight across. And I'm like, maybe I should try that sometime, because maybe that makes it easier to run with. I don't know. Like,
I think the idea is that it rests then on the back of your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I never had a problem with the grip, right? The grip's not an issue, but it was just awkward to move with it. And I was thinking, maybe if I let it, I'm going to try that in the future, just see if that, you know, buys a couple of seconds here or there. But after that, we are on to the ski or the bike. It's everybody's favorite bike. So going into the bike, how are you guys feeling? Morgan, you were in, I think you were still in fourth at this time.
Yeah. So I think I was in fourth, and going into it, I felt pretty dead and I just wanted the race to be over. Except I know that, like, I can push hard on the bike, even under fatigue. So my goal, I didn't really have a goal, but I just wanted to, like, push harder than the other girls, I guess. And going in the first, like, 15 calories, I felt fine. I was like, okay, this is fine. It's going well. But I just hit a massive wall the last 10 calories. Like, I really, really wanted to stop, take a breath, reset, and then continue so bad the last 10. It just hit me like a wall. But Nick was kind of there telling me, like, okay, you're pushing this many watts harder than this girl. Like, you're going to put time on them. And I think I still put some decent time on people. I was so disoriented after. I just wanted to get to the finish line. So I just did what I could. Slowed down the last 10 calories for sure. But I think the bike is probably a decent strong suit of mine.
Didn't you come out in second after the bike?
Yeah. Yeah. I came out in second. I think it was, Vivian, I guess, was way ahead. And then it was me.
Yeah, and I think that's where Holly and Laura all of a sudden joined at the hip at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holly made up time on the bike.
Yeah. She did really well on the machines. She really did.
Yeah. I think she stood up the whole time on the bike too.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. If not most of the time, and would sit down for little breaks.
Okay.
I've yet to find that effective for me.
Yeah. I don't think that would work for me.
Like, it just feels, I don't know, I with your arms moving at the same time, I don't know, I'm gonna play with it and try, but I just,
yeah, she had the big, like, the arms up high like this, right? Yeah. With the elbows up, and
and I get that, because it means you're pushing down on the handles as opposed to pushing straight ahead or forward. You maybe she's able to use more of her body weight for that, and I've seen Killian and guys like that do that too, but I don't know, I haven't found it as an effective technique, but they're better than me, so what do I know? So you come, and another thing I found about the bike too, and I actually think this is one of the best things about the design in the course, is for the power athletes that get to the bike, where that's where they're really going to be able to make their move. It's also that point where, like you say, you're hitting that wall, and you're like, I don't know that I have it in me to make said move that I should be able to make here that I want to make. So
right,
it's just an interesting design point in the course, whether that's intentional or just the way it happens.
Yeah,
it really comes across well.
So I think this is where you play around too with, do you ease up a little bit on the runs before? Because if knowing this one is really where moves can be made, if you can lower your heart rate coming into it and then just smash the bike, it also might be a strategy. But again, as you do these, you kind of figure out what works better for you based on the stations that really hit you hard.
Right.
Yeah. I know that to do the bike alone, I have it in me to hit those 25 calories in around a minute. And it took me a minute and 50, maybe 49, somewhere around there. What's that?
That's what it took me, I think, like a minute 50, 2 minutes. I don't know. It was.
I was like, I think it was about a minute and 49, right around there. Cause I know in my previous deck of strong, I was just a little bit faster on this one, but I was on it and I'm like, I'm going so fucking slow, and I know there's more there, and I know I can, but it's just nothing left at that point. I hit that same wall you did, and I was like, oh god. And then to try to run after, I might as well have just, you know,
get right,
should have just rolled around on the floor for a while. So after that, we head to the tank, and again, for both
ball
of
over
you,
walls.
Oh yeah, right, ball over walls. Yeah. You know what, so the wall over the ball over the walls, it's hard to really make a move at all there.
Mm-hmm.
it's another one of those, for me anyway, that I seems like no matter how much energy you're putting in it, you're really kind of going the same speed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Although Holly did make a move somehow in this one too.
She did. Actually, I got passed here. I didn't know how many I had to do. And I thought it was 25. And I didn't have anyone counting. I thought I had someone there like counting the reps for me. And I was like at 23 and I went to go pick it up again. I was like, how many do I do? And there was a volunteer there. She was like 20. I was like, oh shit. And then at that point, Holly and Laura had already just, you know, ran away from me. And I was like, oh man, that was my chance, I think. So I was a little discouraged after that one, to be honest. Because again, I kind of took my time through that. For me, that was like a break.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, the ball's not that heavy. Like I can just take my time to go over, back and over the wall. And then by the time I was in the zone, I kept going. And before I know it, I see Holly and Laura like a full length ahead of me. And I'm like, gosh, darn it. Next time I'll count.
Why wasn't Nick counting? Nick should have been yelling at you.
So I told it. He's like, I was counting. And I'm like, well, why didn't you? You know DECA, you know it's 20. Why are you letting me do 25? I was like, dude, come on, you're supposed to be there supporting me, helping me out.
I hope you charged him rent.
No, you know what? I didn't charge him rent, but he did open a tab at the bar afterwards. And
that's not
I
bad.
Think that was enough.
Well, he did get a check that day, so he might as well.
I know, right? I'm like, come on, spread the love.
By the way, should be said, DECA gave checks out right on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah. So big bonus. Well done. Very cool.
Also guys, I got to wrap it up kind of soon because it's 6:40. I have something.
All right, cool. Anyway, you got to roll. That's great.
Yes.
You ended up, you finished fourth.
I finished
fourth. How's your feeling going forward?
You know what? Going into it, I didn't have any expectations. During the race, I started to put expectations on myself. I was like, okay, I'm kind of maintaining contact with the top three girls. If I can finish on the podium, that would be cool for me. And then, of course, we just talked about ball over wall. Lost two places there. And at the end, I was just trying to have fun and hold on. I was like, okay, maybe the podium's not in the cards for me today. But, you know, this is kind of my comeback into competitive racing. So, you know, I took it in stride. I had a good time and I met new people and connected with old. So I think going forward, my goal is to put more time into training. Like I said, right now it's a little bit hard with a new job, but I think you can see me at more DECA fits in the future.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll see you soon and hopefully we'll have you back on really soon, Morgan. Thanks so much.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Thanks guys. And, I appreciate it.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Morgan.
All right. Talk soon.
Bye. I wanted to talk to you about a couple more things. Anyway,
yep.
You came through, but we'll just finish up with you. You came through. How was the tank push? Because you'd never done it before.
Yeah. So the tank wasn't heavy at all. It's just awkward. And there's this, it's resistance on the tires. So you can only push it so fast. Like you can push it as hard as you want. And it just didn't feel like it made up significant gains in the speed. So, which was kind of frustrating, especially I found on the pulling it backwards, you just felt lactic building in your quads, no matter how fast or slow you went. And it was only really incrementally so fast. So, I know people have talked about how frustrating it is and I get it. I also have thought it's a machine though that makes so much more sense in these types of races, just because you're not dealing with that friction with the carpet, having to bring something to push the sleds on. You're also not having to carry around all that weight to put on the sleds. The machine is exactly the same at every race. So consistency is really, I think, the most important thing between these races. So it's fine, but yeah, it's not really a station where you can try to make big moves or anything. You just kind of try to get your time in with it.
Now for me, despite the fact I was really tired and gassed out and I went out too hot and suffered through bled out through the end, I went almost 45 seconds faster on the tank than I did in my DECA Strong, just from the experience of using it and feeling it better and knowing, okay, and pushing a little bit differently, pulling in a different manner. Like I did the walk back and row, and that worked better for me. And I do think that, I do think you can get better at it. You can make time at it.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, I did talk to Ryan Kent about it too, and he has one at home, and he did say too, you kind of get a feel for like that optimal level of push where it can move the fastest based on what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that could definitely be played with. So that we're off to that. And then, you know, you're kind of where you are at this point. So but you hit your burpees, and your burpees are your world.
Yeah. Yeah. When I kept visualizing this race, I wanted to be like within striking distance more of the podium at the burpees, and then just try to like go lights out at the burpees and see what could happen. Yeah. But yeah, they had too much time on me at that point. But I still hit them hard, and those are always fun for me. There's very few movements that benefit a short body, and that's one of them.
You kind of got it at the beginning at the end, right? And the lunges and then the burpees. Yeah. It's at the beginning
lunges and the end. Burpees. Yeah, nothing else. So yeah, I felt good finishing. The three stations in the row there, the bike and then the ball and then the sled, just they do kind of slow me down a little bit, but
I thought the ball you had a pretty good. It didn't seem that bad. Like you didn't seem to lose a lot of time there or anything. You seemed to keep up.
No. And again, it's not one that you can really do that much faster. So I did try to use that one to recover, because coming off the bike, that run was probably my slowest. Yeah. And I just felt like my heart rate was so jacked after the bike. So I was anticipating using the ball over the wall to kind of calm my system back down a little bit. So, I mean, I'm sure I could do it a little bit faster. I saw the way Holly did it, and she was really speedy on the coming around. That's the only really, the ball is not that significant of a weight. So, I mean, Vivian made it look like it was 5 pounds though. She would like flick it with her fingertips, but it's still, the ball itself doesn't take that much out of you, but it's the figuring out how to quickly go around the ball thing.
All right. And then, so that, you know, you ended up, you had sixth place with really, considering that field, that's not a bad debut. There's nothing wrong with that. You're coming back from it. It's a good debut. It was a fast field and all worked out well. Then we went, and we won't go in detail to the whole thing, but we went to the relay, and this was you and Lanny, and I'll just let you, like your guys plan. What were you guys planning to do here?
Yeah. So, Lanny came in, and she was, our plan was super simple. And again, because we'd never done this event, we didn't really know any other strategy that would have made more sense. So Lanny was just going to do all the running, and I was going to do the stations. Easy peasy. You have to do the first and the last 500 together. We did say that if the sled is before the last run, that she might take a length or two in there just to give me a little bit more legs to try to run with her that last 500, which she did. And, same thing, like our plan was great. But those stations, when you have those little breaks and you're trying to like give your partner the best opportunity possible to kind of stay in the mix, and we were really in the mix with the elite men, which was fun. You hammer those stations so hard after each station, almost I was like ready to vomit. And then thankfully with her, the way it was is her, because she's doing the exact same thing every time. I had a consistent rest, so I basically had about 90 seconds between each of my stations while she ran her 500. But with her, I warned her, like, some of these stations, you're going to have like 30 to 40 seconds. So when I come up at this station, I'd kind of tell her like, this is probably going to take about this long, just so she could kind of mentally prepare, like her rest breaks in between. Like the farmer's carry was probably 30 seconds of a rest for her. So then she did take a couple of the sleds, and we were right in there with some of the elite men too. It was so fun to watch. She would catch them on the runs, and then they'd gain a bit on the stations, and they were so intensely trying to stay ahead of us. She took a bit of the sled. When we did the last 500 together, it was trying to run with her in that last 500, that bike, like I was the closest I've ever been to vomiting all day. And And then, so the last 500, while we're running it, everything started to kind of seize. My calves started to go, my upper body was cramping. Like, I was like, if I ran right into the burpees and grabbed it and started, I probably would have puked for sure. So I said, do a couple burpees, Lanny. I have to catch my breath. So she did 5 burpees and then I hammered the last 15. So yeah, we finished about 70 seconds shy of the record. So in hindsight, when we talked about it after, because she does a bit of work on the machines at a CrossFit gym, is we would have done it where I did like 300 or 400 on the machine, and, or she started and did the first 100 or 200, and then I could hammer out the last couple hundred, just because trying to maintain, and like I said, the machines are hard for me to keep a really good pace for that 500 meters. So if I had to do 300 even or 400, then I think our overall time would have been better, because her running is phenomenal no matter what, even if she does 30 seconds on the skier or a rower. So I think if we did it again, we might split up the stations even just a little bit more.
So that said, we were hoping when you went in there, we were hoping maybe you guys would get the record and that would be the cool thing. But, you know, you guys did still get a monstrous win. I'm not sure, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 minutes over second place.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So I mean, that's something to see and something to build on, and it was a great, great effort. And I don't know about you, but I thought that the relay, like I know team stuff is fun, but that was one of the most fun races I've ever done when I did the relay. I loved it. And it was it's like red line, fall over, recover, red line, fall over, recover.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was great. I just love that. It was just the kind of thing I like to do. I'll tell this story too, because it was very funny. So me and my pal Tony, we did our team. We run around, we ran the first together. He did the lunges. I ran 250. He ran 250. And the plan, this was the plan all the time, was I'm pretty decent at the rower, that I would do the whole row. And I grabbed that rowing machine and I'm like, I'm going to make my mark, because I wasn't super happy with my individual performance. So I'm like, I'm really good. So I'm pulling like 130, just hauling on that thing. And then all of a sudden, Yancey comes in front of me and starts going, Dave, we got to get these guys on the podcast. And he's talking to the Spartan Ram guys. And I'm like, right now, man, not a great time to talk. So I'm like pulling as hard as I can and he's chatting. I don't know. It was good fun, and we will have them on. I can't wait to talk to them. That'd be great. But,
but anyway, like not the time, Yancey.
Not the time, Yancey. I'm literally gonna shit my pants here.
Yancey was so awesome all day. Like, so if you were watching him, and again, he came in on a red eye, I think 2 hours of sleep, and he probably fist bumped every person in the stadium. He was in the mix all over all day long, cheering everybody on. Like, I saw him everywhere all day long, never stopped. And then as soon as they were done the last awards, he grabbed his bag and he was running down the pier to go catch a flight.
Yeah. He was right out the head, right under a cab. It was crazy. But yeah. I had the experience on the bike, and it was very similar to Kevin Gregory, where we split it up though. Tony did the first 12, I did the last 13, and I was cranking on that thing, and I'm like, I'm not letting this thing hit 60 seconds. I'm not going to that triple digits. I gotta be. And I finished it and I stayed under the 60, and then Tony took off and I like fell off the bike and lied on the ground for about 20 seconds, just kind of going, I don't know that I can make it to the wall over things in time. or I don't know if I had to run, because I'm like, I don't know if I can get up by the time he gets back in 250 to get in position to run. But we did. We made it. It's just a great event. The relay was just so much fun.
I know. Yeah. So we were with Glenn and Kevin, who were giving Rich and Ryan a bit of a run for their money through some of that. And yeah, Kevin again did all the stations. So they had the same strategy as us. So, and he always had the spot right by the entrance, which is kind of the goal. Lanny and I like, get a spot. So he would usually be finishing when we were about coming in, and he would always be laying flat on the mat. And I was like, I almost wanted to like roll him over. Like, we came up to the bike and I was like, he's laying right beside the bike I want. I'm like, Kevin, just roll over a little bit so I can get on here. He's like, and he did. He just rolled over.
I would have loved to have seen you trying to roll Kevin, because he's not a little man. I'm impressed.
I know. He is not a little man. No.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
And just as much as he is a beast, Glenn Race is fast.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know Glenn was that quick. I knew he was a good runner, but I didn't know he was that fast. Like, he can haul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he's a former track guy too, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to say for the first 7 stations, right up to that bike, they gave Rich and Ryan everything they wanted, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I think at that point though, they just couldn't keep it up any longer, but wow, they ended up putting in the 3rd fastest time ever.
Yeah. And so again, you're looking at 2 different strategies, right? So Rich and Ryan Kent had a strategy where they were splitting up everything, just like the 2 women who have the current record. Right. And I think just that overall pace in those stations. And then when you're only running 250, that's an all out sprint too. So if you have 2 runners again that are kind of similar. So right now that strategy is what's holding both world records.
Yeah. And I mean, it has to be said too, like, hats off to Rich and Ryan Kent. Like, that was just, they beat the record. And
they by a couple, like, minutes, 2 minutes, they were 25 minutes.
Yeah. I don't think
it was 27.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the old record is, but I knew, I can't remember now, but I do know they beat it. And they were flying. They were just, they were a sight to behold, just that kind of speed. And they maintained it so well. And they just, it was hard to find flaw in anything they did on that race. As well, an individual, again, 1st and 3rd, and Nick Riker with a PR was amazing performance. He ran what I thought was the smartest race of the day.
Yeah.
Like, he just played his cards perfectly to within his skill set. He seemed prepared and did it really well, because he has had ones in the past where he goes out too fast and blows up. This one, he just played it perfectly. As well, and on the women's side, Vivian, massive PR, just showing her strength, how well she could do. Holly Hughes, honestly, kind of out of nowhere in my mind.
Yeah, she's done it before, right?
I'm not sure that she has. Like,
I thought she had done, whether it was a strong or a mile, one of them.
Oh, I think she did a mile. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, she's a runner, and but it looked to me like she was going to hammer the machines and not lose time on those. And she ran a super smart race. And the finish of that was super exciting too. Holly and Laura, burpee for burpee. Holly just had a better position. She had a better position on the mats closer to the finish
line. It just came down to, she was 2 mats closer than Laura. And that was the difference in the race. Like it said, I think it says 3 seconds on the results, but it was not 3 seconds. It was like 1. It was that close.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
it was so good, and they were amazing athletes. Everybody around, just, it was a great event, great athletes. But like I said, there are some things that came up, and we'll start with people saying that, like, okay, the twisting lunges, and also, well, we did have some people I saw look like doing some jumping lunges that weren't called by the officials, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or whatever by the judges, whatever. But the big question here is twisting lunges. Are the twisting lunges legal by the rules? So, according to the rules here, movement standards. From a vertical position, the competitor steps back to begin the reverse lunge movement. At the bottom position, the knee must be touching the ground. The knee must be below or behind the hip. The front foot flat on the ground. At the top of the rep, there must be full body lockout. Knees are full extension, hips are at full extension. Split squat jumps are not permitted. Both feet must be on the ground at the top of the rep before you begin the next rep. Rep is considered complete. Once the competitor reaches full hip and knee extension, competitor must alternate legs on each rep. So from that standard, to me, the twisting rep seems legal. However, I do see a lot of people doing it and not fully extending at the top. So I think if you fully extend at the top, you're fine. If you don't, it should be a no rep.
Yeah. And the only thing that it said, that it could be slightly open to interpretation, but it just said that your knee has to be behind your hip. So as long as your twisting lunge isn't too much off to the side, then, and it doesn't say it has to be directly behind.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Okay.
So That's one of the ones I'm okay with. I think it's fine. And a lot of people were saying maybe Rich and Ryan Kent, especially in the relay, weren't doing it. And I mean, from the angle I had and stuff, I can't say. I couldn't tell if they were getting full extension. If they were getting full extension, then it's fine. From the athlete perspective, if the judge is not calling a no rep, then it's a good freaking rep and away you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that's the way the game's played. It may not be perfect, but c'est la vie. So twisting lunge, I'm saying okay. Mm-hmm. So the next one was box jump overs. And we all do this step thing. All right, everybody's doing the step thing, kind of that hop, that step thing. Now, this is another one where Rich and Ryan Kent got a little flack because they do a system where they swing their foot closest to the box, kind of over the corner, step on and jump over. And that said, and we'll read the rules. It doesn't come up that they're going straight across. So let's see here. Movement standards. Only competitors' feet may touch the top of the box, which, if I remember right, when Yancey did the run through, he said,
if your hand touches the top, it's not a big deal. He said, just try not to do it because you guys are elites.
Yeah.
Okay. But he said, if you end up crawling across it, he said, whatever, it's just slow.
All right. So despite the fact that's in there, that seems to be set. And I'm going to say these rules seem to be evolving. This is really new. So I think things will be changing and evolving. So only competitors' feet may touch the top of the box. Competitors may jump onto the box, on the top of the box with 2 feet landing, and then jump or step off the other side. That's really it. Competitors must land on the top of the box. They cannot jump over the entire box. Competitors are not allowed to jump, step, or climb on and off the box. So I think these have really changed.
So the only thing it maybe should have is, I would say the body must be over the box.
And that's one
where there was things where I was like, when their feet were touching the top, but their body was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something I kind of saw a bit with Rich, mostly with Rich there, is because he really skirts that edge line and he's moving quick. Yeah. Right. But I think, I think Rich and Ryan and Nick did a podcast earlier, and it was really well done. It was a great podcast. And thank you for the nice comments. And now I'm going to be mean to him. So I think the one thing they could do is they could put a piece of line of tape on the ground at the edge of the box and just say your feet have to come inside this line.
Yeah.
Right. And then that should, as long as your feet stay inside that line, that means your body's likely going to go over the box.
Yeah.
But again, as with the lunges, if they're not calling it a no rep, I see no issue with what the guys were doing. Because if it's being accepted, it's being accepted. So be it. I think, though, looking at this, that rule really needs updated.
Yeah. And again, as we do these things, people are always going to try to find ways to make something faster and more efficient. And then, so when someone tries something, you don't like it, then you add a rule that kind of fixes it. It's kind of just the way sports evolve.
Yeah. I mean, like we said this before, right? Hockey's been going on for years and they're evolving rules all the time. Same with football, basketball. It's always changing and flowing. So
yeah,
right now that's just the way it is. So again, I know I give no grief to the guys. They were doing what was called an acceptable rep. Mm-hmm. This one was an interesting one. Med ball sit-ups. And this one was Kevin Gregory. And
yeah,
we were told in the pre-race thing that you just had to hit the ball to the target. So what?
And then tap it over your head. And
tap it over your head. Yeah. So what Kevin did was he barely sat up at all. And did you get to see him? You were probably on the run, but you watched the video. And
no, I saw him because I was coming in and I was waiting for his mat. So I was watching him.
Okay. So he was literally shoulders a couple inches off the ground.
He would tap it and then throw it on the ground.
Whipping it back, yeah. Boom, whipping it. And essentially really using gravity as his friend. And people were like, that can't be legal. And so is it or isn't it? And here's the way it's done. We'll go to the movement standards. Rep starts when competitor's back on the floor, knees bent, med ball behind the head, touching the ground. Competitor will throw the med ball with both hands at the target during or at the top of the sit-up motion. competitor must raise the torso so their chest is upright. At the bottom of the rep, the competitor must have control of the ball and it must touch the ground behind their head. Rep is considered completed once it hits the target. First glance at that or hearing that, that does sound like it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. So this one was interesting though, too, because when Yancey did his preamble with the elites, he said, if you can sit up all the way and tap the upright or the target, he said, then you don't have to toss it. And then he said, but if you're doing that, realize you're sitting up higher than you might if you were tossing it on the way up. So the way he made it sound was, if you can toss it earlier, you don't have to come up as far. He never mentioned having to be vertical.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It doesn't say vertical. It says chest upright. And that is really open to interpretation.
Oh.
You know, like upright is... I'm not going to... She wants me to look up the definition of upright right now.
So maybe it would have to be... There has to be space underneath the entire back.
Okay. So according to the clinical definition of upright, upright means vertical. I've been told, perpendicular. So either
that's a tough one to judge too.
Well, so I started thinking about that, right? And I'm like, okay, let's just say that's the case. In that case, nobody did it right, because nobody was going completely upright, right? Like when you're doing your that med ball sit up and you're touching it to your ankles or your feet or whatever the case may be, you kind of have to go upright to reach, right?
Yeah.
So it's much more consistent. Whereas this, you know, I didn't see a single person go all the way upright, you know, like even you're not tall and you weren't going completely upright. Like nobody was. Right. So I think some rewording needs to be done there. Do I think bubbles technique should be legally allowed? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to talk to him and see how fatiguing it was on him, because it did.
That would destroy my shoulders, what he did.
It did look like he spent a lot, like it was fast, but it looked like he spent a lot of energy doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it's, I think, you know, that's, Yancey didn't seem to have a problem with it. So, you know,
right.
It's his show. And clearly, like I said, it was entertaining. It was funny.
Yeah.
And it showed just how strong that guy is.
Yeah.
He was throwing that thing like it was a tennis ball. I know. And really good rhythm and timing. Like he was hitting it, getting it back perfectly. So, you know, we'll see. I'm sure that will be addressed. And I think that, again, that's another rule that maybe needs clarified and cleaned up and
evolving. Maybe it's something too. Most people are not going to be wanting to do that strategy.
I wouldn't do it. I like to think of myself as a decently strong dude and I wouldn't do that.
I couldn't do that.
But you know, he's a different kind of man. The next one would be the tank push pull, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because of Mark Polzin. So the tank push pull is really fairly simplistic, right? It's hard to say there was anything wrong with it. You push it across, you pull it back, it's pretty much it. However, what happened is he went in and by no intention whatsoever accidentally grabbed one of the women's tank settings. It was on the women's settings, and he pushed it all the way across, pushed it back, and then started to push it again. And one of the officials or Spartan employee noticed, ran over and set the setting to the men's setting. This was definitely caught by a lot of people. So I asked Yancey about it, and he said the official caught it and changed the setting, and so be it. Now, I talked to Mark about it briefly, and he said that, they switched it, and he just kept going. I asked him if they made him redo the reps, and they did not. So according to, and I'll read the rules here. I'm not going to read movement standards because that just, you know, again, push it across, bring it back. Any violation of the rules will count as a no rep in the entire 10-meter set the violation occurred during. So according to that, you should have to redo the sections that were missed.
Yeah.
So that I think was a bit of a miss on the judge's part. And this is, I mean, I'm not, again, I don't fault Mark. He was not told to do them, and he put in a hell of a race. I was very, he really impressed me with his ability, and a nice guy, but that was something I think missed on the judge, and the judge who switched it to the setting should have told him to redo the reps.
Is he in the top 12 currently?
I believe he may be. So we'll have to look at that.
With that time?
Well, let's take a quick look and see if I have it called up here.
Because that's a bit.
Yeah, that would be disappointing. Here we are. Oh, that's not the right thing. We're looking at the strong. We need the fit. Yeah, he is in 10th with a 32 dead. Now, was that the one he did there? Let's just take another quick look on here and see.
Yeah, I don't know if then maybe in this situation it was. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's too late now, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's done is done. And I can't say that any of the other people who had set times didn't have things go wrong there, didn't have something that might have been a bad rep or whatever. So, what's done is done. But yeah, I would think that would be probably the biggest omission that I've seen. And it's a shame that that happened to Mark, because it is really unfortunate, because it was not with any intent that that happened. And he was in this killer race with Glenn Race. They were going back and forth, and it was very entertaining. So I feel bad that come down on him, but I would also feel remiss if we didn't address it and talk about it a little bit. So hopefully that gets caught next time. And again, and I've said it a million times, if that bothers you that happened, well, volunteer, step up and get in there and help.
Yeah, because again, a volunteer standing there who was able to use their voice would have directed him first to the men's side, because there was a sign in the middle that said men's side, women's side. But, and again, when you're in race mode, you don't always see these things. You're just looking for sled. And I mean, there was a lot of excitement around this race too. So it's if the volunteer just directed him, there would not have been an issue.
And that sign was a big sign. So Deca had set it up right. It was said men, women. It was pretty clear. But I think what happened with him is, you know, you're running in it and it's a bit of a smaller opening, the entrance to the zone.
Yes.
And on the one side was pretty much you had Kent, Riker, and Rich all right there taking up the spot. So he just took the closest one, which just happened to be on the women's side. So say, other than that, the only other thing that came up, and I don't even have to read the rules for this, the only other thing that came up was Rich Ryan's burpees and the fact that his first however many reps, he didn't have the ram over his head. Wasn't picking the ram up high enough. Yep, so true. I don't know what to say.
And this was one Yancey probably said three times in the spiel. He said, stop trying to get six more millimeters less of distance over your head. Just bring it directly over your head.
Yeah. And what happened was, however many reps, let's just for argument's sake, say 10 reps in, Yancey saw this, ran over, told Rich, hey, fix this shit. And he did. Rich did the rest of the reps good. Now, I don't blame Rich, because there was a volunteer right in front of Rich counting reps that at no point counted in no reps. So in Rich's mind, he's racing, he's pushing hard against Nick Riker, and he thinks he's going high enough because they're counting reps. Yes. So he has no idea that they're not good. C'est la vie. So, and if the ref, and if the judge doesn't call it a no rep, then it's a good rep.
Yeah. And you don't always know how far you're going again when you're in that race mode and you're full of lactic. Like, he probably, you have no concept really of how far you're going unless someone says something.
No, he'd been
red. When I watched my video after, I was going way too far back with my ram, but again, I didn't realize it. You're just kind of like throwing it around.
Yeah. And he had been redlining for like 31 minutes. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be off a bit. So I don't blame Rich at all. So for the people that commented, yes, those reps were no good. No, he was not penalized because the judge didn't call it. And Yancey can't go over there and all of a sudden say, well, I didn't see everything, but I think all your reps suck, so start again. Mm-hmm. You can't do that, right? It just doesn't work that way. There's no video replay in DECA.
Yeah.
So c'est la vie. It is what it is. And I'm not one to usually say something like this, but I don't think Rich gained any advantage from it in the long run. I don't think anybody else paid a price for it. So it is a bit of a no harm, no foul. Should it be fixed? Yeah, it should. And that comes down to the judges having the confidence in themselves and the rules to call no reps when they belong. And it can be intimidating and difficult to do because you might be envious and awestruck by some of these athletes, and especially in the elite waves, but you got to do it for the integrity of the sport. So
yeah,
here's hoping next time, Rich, if I'm there, I'm gonna no rep the shit out of you. I'm gonna wave a sign and then no one will bug you. Rich though put in a great race and a great race, so, and an awesome guy, so he deserves all the credit. Yeah, so that was it. Those were my takeaways. Anything else grab you from the weekend that, you know?
It was just such a good experience again, and such a well done event. I love the setup of DECA. It's so exciting. It's also, as I'm there, I kept thinking about how much fun it would be to get way more people like from my gym there. It's an event that shouldn't be intimidating to people. It's every movement is manageable. The distance is manageable, like 500 meter repeats, just 10 of them. You're running 5K. It's one of those things where if you want something to kind of get your toes wet in the hybrid racing scene or obstacle type stuff, this would be the one for you to try.
Yeah. And so many people having such a good time. Like, they had a great turnout. People were going all day long. The open waves when I was volunteering, just characters having a blast, doing their best and having a good time. And it was awesome. They even had the Wounded Warriors or one of those Oscar Mike out there at the end. And I saw a story of the one man doing the brand burpees at the end, and he only had the one leg.
One leg, yeah.
Yeah, it was just awesome to see. So it hit on a lot of stuff, but we have definitely shown, like anything, we do ramble on about how much we enjoy it and like it, but it is not perfect. It needs work still. It is an ongoing process. But I do believe with somebody with Yancey's tenacity and determination, he is going to do everything to continue to improve it. And right now, I would recommend it so much. Like, and again, especially that relay. So
If you go do a relay,
grab anybody. It doesn't matter who. Just grab somebody and do it. It's just so much fun, and you know, passing that baton back and forth, and yes, the Bethany Riley team will have to go sometime.
Yeah, we will.
The invitation's still there, you know. She came fourth. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. That's it for me, Beth. You got anything else for today?
Nope. Yeah. And again, so thanks for listening here and hearing Morgan's side of her race, but also check out those videos. They're pretty awesome. They're up on YouTube. Dave did a fantastic job. There's a lot of behind scenes work that goes into how well of a job he did. So take a look at those videos, just again, to kind of boost the sport, let Spartan know also how well of a job that Dave did. So until next time, keep crushing it.
Thanks a lot. Take care.